Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. In fact, I want to look at the genesis of wives this morning. And I want to talk about, we're in the middle of a series called The Spirit-Filled Marriage. And I want to talk about the Spirit-Filled spouse. And we're going to particularly focus on the ladies today and their role. And Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to start today. And I've made the case in our previous messages. By the way, I heard Chip Gilmore did a fantastic job last week. Thank you, Chip, for boldly and powerfully communicating the truth. And man, I just love my brothers. So many good folks here. Genesis chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good." It's not good. It's the only time after he has said, this is good, this is good, this is good. Finally, we come to a not good. "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. He closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" The only thing that was not good in that setting, in the Garden of Eden, through these days of creation, was the fact that man was alone. Man was alone. And I don't know about you, sometimes I like being alone, but I never like being lonely. And if you've ever felt the pain of loneliness, that's a deep and subtle pain and a difficult one. And God looked down and saw that man needed a helpmate. We get the sense here in the passage here in Genesis that Adam was on the earth for a good while before Eve was created. And part of the reason I think that is that Adam was going through this process of naming the animals as God created the animals. Adam would name them. I've often thought about that. That must have been a really fun job. I mean, can you imagine that? Each of these animals coming before you and you kind of getting to scratch your head and go, rhinoceros, you know, or hippopotamus, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's just the coolest job on the earth. And here's Adam getting the opportunity to do this. And did you know that we're still finding new species of animals? We are still today finding new species. So this was a job that evidently took a good long while. Of course, we know, and sin enters in, they live 900 years, there's a lot going on. But it's interesting because every animal, in a sense, had an opportunity to be a helper to Adam. And, you know, I'm just kind of imagining some of the animals that men tend to like, the horse, you know, the dog, the wolf, you know, the tiger. But none of these things were right to be a helper to Adam. And thank God. Amen. Thank God that he didn't find any suitable out of the list of animals. So God creates someone like Adam to be his helper. God creates Eve. And he creates Eve out of a rib. Have you ever thought about that? Everything else in the garden was created out of the dust of the earth, except Eve. Except Eve. She was created from Adam. And this is hugely significant, church. And we're living in a day and a time where marriage is under attack, where marriage is questioned, where marriage is redefined. And I got to tell you, like I said a moment ago, strong biblical truth is the answer to all the confusion in the world that we're living in. And by the way, I want to mention this and certainly want to be very sensitive in mentioning it. But since I've started just over the last few weeks speaking about marriage, I know right now of four couples that are fighting for their marriages, and I'm fighting with them for the saving, reconciling, restoration of their marriages. There's a battle going on. It seems like it's heating up. Regardless of which presidential candidate got elected, I think there was going to be a questionable example put forth in our land. Regardless of what you think about Barack and Michelle Obama, at least they seem to have had a solid marriage. Amen? That was a good thing. That was a good example, even though they made decisions that said something very different along the way. But now we have a different situation that really necessitates our prayer. So Adam goes through all these animals. None of them are equal. So God creates someone like Adam to be his helper. He creates Eve. This is so significant. He takes Eve out of a rib of Adam. And let me tell you why that's so significant. Because marriage, I almost started to go, marriage. I'm not going to do that. Betty Chady, thanks for putting that thought in my mind. That's Betty Chady's fault. Marriage was created to be the most intimate relationship on planet Earth between human beings. See, two are to become one. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, they're to become one. Eve is a part of Adam. And that's replicated over and over again every time two become one. God gives Eve a name, and it's the same name. Listen to this, because this is where I want to go today. God gives Eve a name, and it's the same name he gives to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, remember, and I've laid the foundation for this, and I'm not going to do it fully again today, but God creates man and woman in his likeness and image. That means that there is a part of God that's maternal. And I want to make the case that that part of God that's maternal, that's played out in Scripture through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the same name, he calls Eve a helper. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. And I want to show you that here in just a moment. But let's take a moment with this word, because this word is huge. And you need to understand it, and all the ladies need to amen it really good here in just a moment. This word helper is something so much more than what any of us have generally understood it to be. And here's a little portion I want to read to you from John Eldridge. He wrote this. Eve is given to Adam as his Azar Kenegdo. You might want to remember that. That's Hebrew for helper. Azar Kenegdo. Sometimes I call my wife, hey, you're my Azar Kenegdo. Come over here, honey. She appreciates that when I use Hebrew terms for her. Anyway, I don't know whether she does or not. She says, or as many translations have it, his helpmeet or helper. Doesn't sound like much, does it? Makes me think a hamburger helper. These are the words of John Eldridge. But Robert Alter says this is a notoriously difficult word to translate. It means something far more powerful than just helper. It means lifesaver. Yeah, we got some good female amens there. All right, I like that. The phrase is only used elsewhere of God when you need him to come through for you desperately. And then it quotes Deuteronomy 33. I love this. There's no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you. I'll say that to Tracy sometimes. You're the one that rides on the heavens to help me, baby. I need your help, honey. Eve is a life giver. She's Adam's ally. It is to both of them that the charter for adventure is given. It will take both of them to sustain life, and they will both need to fight together. See, women are equal to men. We are completely equal, but very different. And our differences can be seen as either dynamic or dangerous. When Tracy and I first got married, I struggled, I will admit, I struggled with our differences. And at times, I struggled with rejecting her for her differences. I had to learn and grow. That's what I had to do. Because there's three responses, generally, to your spouse's differences. And the way you respond to those differences makes a huge, huge difference. Number one, you can reject them. You can reject them. At times, I thought my wife was weird in some ways. Hey. Sorry, honey. I got a hey. That wasn't an amen. I got a hey this time. I may pay for this later on. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm totally normal. And I thought at times she was kind of abnormal. And sometimes we didn't see things exactly the same way. We didn't respond to things the same way. I didn't grow up with any sisters at all. She grew up with all sisters. She started borrowing my clothing from early on without asking me. That really threw me off. I was an only child. I didn't share my stuff with anybody. I finally got to share something with her the other day. I think Beth gave her a really nice hat, and I wore her hat the other day. It's the first thing in 29 years I've worn of hers. You'll be glad to know it was a hat, not a blouse or anything else. I had a lot to learn. We had a lot of differences. Number two, you can tolerate your spouse's differences. You can essentially not like them but put up with them. Or number three, and here's the right way, you can celebrate your spouse's differences. See, the right way to see your spouse's differences is to celebrate them and to realize they're a part of what makes you complete. They're a part of completing who you actually are supposed to be. See, God created Eve to complete Adam. Not the way that God completes us, but in a human sense. God created Eve to supply what was lacking in Adam. See, I when I got married, I certainly didn't need another Jeff. I certainly did not need that. I needed a Tracy, not another me. And together, she and I come together as one, and we complete one another, and it's a beautiful thing. She supplies what's lacking in me. I supply what's lacking in her. She has one side of the brain. I have the other side of the brain. We think very differently, but when we come together, it's amazing what can happen. We supply what the other is lacking. We are two different halves. And can I just say to you that when you reject one another, when you call one another names, when you put one another down because of your differences, you are playing right into the devil's hands. You are tearing down the very blessing that God has given you to complete you. When you celebrate the differences, listen, you are praising God for the fact that you are better together than alone. Eve supplies what's lacking in Adam, and that's how you learn to have a happy marriage, is to celebrate, not to tolerate, not to reject. See, Eve is going to give to Adam the power to accomplish the task ahead of him. He cannot do it without her. This is a pattern in all of Scripture, if you haven't noticed. God creates Adam, and then God gives Adam a helper. Okay, we talked about that word helper, azar kenegdo. Jesus is sent to the earth, okay? He's sent to the earth. He lives for 30 years. He goes through that powerful baptism in the Jordan River. And just as his ministry is beginning, God gives him a helper. Did you ever think about that? The dove comes down, the Holy Spirit. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's from that day forward, with the help of the helper, that Jesus' ministry is accomplished. When Jesus leaves the earth and then hands that ministry, that commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, teaching them to obey all the things I've commanded you, he tells them, you know what? Stay in Jerusalem until I send the power, until I send the helper. He says, don't go until the helper comes, because you're going to need the helper. And he says, in fact, it's to your advantage that I go away, because then the helper would come. So once again, here's the pattern of a helper. You and I absolutely need the helper. Everything you and I do, we are to do with the help of the helper, the Holy Spirit. And we're to do it together as a couple, as one in the Lord. This is such an important, powerful truth. I hope you're getting this today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's interesting. You read that passage, at first you think he's talking about a man and his wife, but he's actually talking about Jesus and his bride. Jesus and the church. We're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We are his helper. We're his helper. See, Jesus lived and walked out his ministry. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the last thing he gave us was the Great Commission. We're called to be his hands and his feet on this earth. And one day, it's going to be a glorious day. I can't wait for this day. One day there's going to be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. where Jesus officially marries his bride, the church, you and I, who've been his hands and his feet on this earth, living out the gospel in demonstrative ways through the love and the grace and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. He's going to marry the church. Women, I got to tell you this morning, just in case you're not getting this at this point, you have a really important role. This is the role. You're the helpmate. You're the one called on high, riding on the heavens to come alongside as a lifesaver to your husband. So I want to take a little bit of time this morning and unpack and help you understand the Holy Spirit-like role of wives. And I think some of you have never thought about this like this before, and it's going to help you see things in a different light and walk in a different way. So we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit and wives as completers and helpers this morning. And the first one is simply this, to be a companion. To be a companion. John 14, 16 says, "And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." See, God gave Adam a companion in Eve. And there's four things research tells us that every man needs in a companion. He needs respect, he needs sex, he needs friendship with his wife, and he needs domestic support. Those are the four things. It's interesting when you talk to a man and a woman and get their different perspectives. When men are asked who their best friend is, oftentimes their answer will be, "Well, my wife. My wife." When women are asked who their best friend is, they'll say, "Well, Lisa," or "Debbie," or "Mary," or... It's interesting, but here's what happens. We men, we like to be friends with our wives. We like it that we have our best friend right there beside us, along with us on the way. We fall in love having fun together, and we like having our best friend with us. Part of the challenge comes in life when busyness comes and kids come and life gets busy and wives will tend to get lost in the role of mom and men sometimes tend to get lost in the role of provider. Let me just say, women, you are always at your best when you're having fun with your spouse. When you have refused to let the fun go out of your relationship and your marriage. You've got to guard that, couples. Don't lose that as a couple. Have fun together. I heard the story of a couple that were really suffering and they were on the brink of divorce. And the man, one of his favorite pastimes was deer hunting. And he was getting ready to go out deer hunting. And it looked like the marriage had no hope. And his wife comes to him and says, "Honey, would you let me go hunting with you?" She had never done that before in all their married life, never expressed any kind of interest whatsoever. And he said yes, and she went hunting. And you know what? That friendship, something sparked, something changed, and that marriage was saved. Secondly, the second role of a wife that very much mirrors that of the Holy Spirit is comforter. Comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. It means one called alongside, one who pleads another's case before a judge, a defense attorney, or an intercessor. Now, let me just stop for a moment and say, you know what? Women are incredible comforters. In fact, here's what I absolutely believe. I believe a woman's touch is the most comforting thing in the world to a man. I believe my wife has the most anointed touch. When I'm stressed out, when I'm going through a difficult day, when I need to just relax, nothing does it like my wife's touch. It's anointed to bring comfort to her man. By the way, women are much more emotionally tough than men are. Have you noticed that? A woman can get into a fight, an argument with another woman, and their blood pressure does not go up, and afterwards they're ready to go shopping together. They've made up, everything's fine, they're moving on, it's no problem. Men don't work that way. If they get into a conflict, into a fight, their blood pressure goes up, they're ready to pull out the guns and the knives. You know what I'm saying? This could end really ugly. In fact, research shows this, and listen, this is really important to keep in mind. You might want to write this down, because this will save your marriage right here. Research shows that when a man's blood pressure goes above 100, that lower number, he cannot hear a thing. He is deaf at that point. He is deaf. He really can't. And this is so important to know. When you get upset in a conflict, stop, cool down, take a break, take a walk, take a cold shower, do whatever you got to do. But stop, because at that point, it's not going to be constructive in any way, shape, or form. It's going to simply be destructive. So you got to quit fighting at that point. In fact, you have a 0% chance of working through an issue at that point. So women, here's what I would encourage you to do. Compliment him. Tell him he's such a hunk. I mean, do something that just cools him down and gets his thinking in a different place, okay? And then, after you're all cooled down and you can walk away from the conflict, talk through the tough issues in times of non-conflict. Amen? Third thing that a woman, a wife, a spirit-filled spouse mirrors in the Holy Spirit is counselor. The Holy Spirit's called the counselor, the spirit of truth in John 14 and John 16. I got to tell you one of the things I've learned being married. I'm coming up on my 29th anniversary. I've learned this. It took me a little while. That might be just a signal of how thick-headed I am. But I've learned one thing. Tracy's pretty wise. She has some wisdom to bring to the plate. She has helped me so many times, in fact. I would have missed so many things along the way without her counsel. But for a long time, I didn't think I needed it. For a long time, I didn't request it. For a long time, I thought it was the macho thing to do was to, you know, not ask for directions, you know, to not ask my wife's opinion. But you know what? I have learned over time that she understands some things with a depth that I don't have. She brings things to the equation that once again complete the picture. I've learned never, never to make a major decision in life without her input. She has an intuition that I don't often bring to the table. See, we're two halves to a whole. Tracy's one half, Jeff's the other. We're two halves to a whole. And just like the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Have you noticed that? He will teach you things. He will show you things if you will ask. But he won't intrude. He won't nag. I mean, this is key because we need to learn to ask. We need to learn to listen. Same way, gentlemen, with our wives. They can really help us if we will just stop being so bullheaded. Some of us are so bullheaded, we think we've got to do it all on our own and start asking our wives' opinion. Ask for their advice along the way. Please tell me, honey, what do you think about this situation? See, when you make decisions together, you make better decisions. Amen? Number four is convictor. Convictor, and this one you might chuckle a little bit about. John 16, 7 and 8 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Can I just remind you that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is sweet. It's not hellfire and damnation. It's sweet and it's specific. It doesn't nag or demand. The Holy Spirit comes and gently convicts us. The Bible talks about that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, leads us to that change of thinking, that seeing the better way that God has for us, showing us a better way. One thing my wife definitely is, she's a truth speaker. And most women are. If you give them the opportunity, they will speak the truth to you. They will help you along the way. Tracy helps me see areas of my life where I would compromise if she didn't speak into a situation. She helps me see things. You know, honey, are you sure that's the right thing to do? That slow me down, that stop me to think about things. I love that about her because we're better and we're stronger together. And this is an important role that a wife has in a spirit-filled marriage. Did you know, by the way, this is research proven. A 48-year-old man, married man has a 90% chance of making it to the age of 65. But a 48-year-old single man has a 60% chance of making it to 65 years old. Do you know that? Why is that? Well, I'll just tell you why that is. Men are safer and better with a woman next to them, speaking into their lives. We would do all kinds of foolish, crazy, ridiculous, destructive things if we didn't have a woman beside us helping us. Here's what wives do. Don't eat that. You're eating too much. That triple bacon cheeseburger baconator is not good for you, honey. I know you love it. You might want to consider giving that up. Don't drink that. Don't watch that. You're speeding, honey. Slow down. Oh, there's one that gets you. Every husband knows you have the Holy Spirit with you constantly when your wife is there. I'm making sure not to make eye contact with Tracy right now. You know, not nagging, not griping, but caring about her man and his health and his longevity. Tracy saves me. She makes me go to the doctor. How many of you are like me? I hate going to the doctor. I don't look forward to that physical. Believe you me. She wants me to go, so I'm taking care of myself. Number five is connector. The Holy Spirit is represented by a dove, which equals peace. John 16, 13 through 15 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Do you realize what that passage is saying, right? Is the Holy Spirit, part of his ministry on the earth today, is to help you understand the Father and the Son. He connects us with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. He is the connector. He discloses things to us of the Father and the Son. This is a huge thing that women do for their families. They connect the family. They're the heart, the emotion of the family. They keep us connected emotionally and with others. Tracy will say to me sometimes, honey, how does that make you feel? And my normal response is, huh? What? Feel? I never thought about that. You know, I'm just over here acting or reacting. I'm not taking time to examine my feelings, to think about my feelings. Well, thank you, honey. She kind of praised me there. I got to thank her for that. After that hey a little while ago. So, you know, you're helping me, honey. I'm growing a little bit. But we're often, as men, we're often detached from our feelings. And our wives, they help us be in touch with our feelings and with our family and with our kids. And without them, it would be a mess. I got to tell you a personal story here for just a sec. When my mother passed away before my father did, my father remarried. And one of the difficult things that I learned through that season is that without my mom, my dad was kind of lost. Emotionally, the attachment to our family, we had to seek my dad out. He never sought us out. But my mom was always the glue that held the family together, that sent out the cards, that got the gifts, that called for the family gatherings. It was like without her, that was all lost. Well, that leads us to not only the role, but the nature of the Holy Spirit. And I think these are also expressed in a Spirit-filled wife. And I want to run through them quickly because we're running out of time. But follow with me here quickly. Fivefold nature of the Holy Spirit in wives. First of all, is gentle. 1 Peter 3:4 says, rather let it be the hidden purse of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Galatians 5:23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is gentleness. Now, I got to tell you, this is not a mousy gentleness. This is not a weak gentleness. This is actually strength very much under control. It's powerful. It's a gentleness that, quite honestly, at times, trusts that God is able to bring about change in her spouse, in her husband. Not nagging, not bossy, not loud, but a strong and a faithful gentleness. The second thing is purity or pure. In fact, the first name of the Holy Spirit is holy because he's holy. And holy, you know, one of the meanings of holy is never using a wrong method to try to achieve a right result. Never using a wrong method to try to achieve a right result. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit's goodness. And the nature of the Holy Spirit and the nature of wives is purity. Spirit-filled wife doesn't use the wrong method to try to bring about a right change in her husband. In other words, not going to force things to happen, not going to nag and this kind of thing, but are going to pray, going to encourage, going to love, going to serve. Number three is positive. The Holy Spirit's like a cheerleader, always trying to encourage us. And even when he's warning or convicting us, the Holy Spirit, I think, does it in a way that's very positive. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy or kindness. Now, let me ask you a question. You've probably never asked this before, but why is the Holy Spirit joyful? Why is the Holy Spirit joyful? Let me just put it this way. Because he knows it's going to be okay, folks. He knows it's going to be okay. The Holy Spirit's positive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows that God is able. God is able to overcome the challenges of this life, the giants in front of you, the mountains before you, the storms around you, you name it. God is able. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can bring forth joy because our God is able. Amen? And that's reason to be joyful. Let me just say this. If we were more in tune with the Holy Spirit, we would not find ourselves down so much. If we were more in tune with the Holy Spirit, we would be more joyful. And I think, quite honestly, that Christians should be the most joyful people around. Amen? And then number four is patient. The Holy Spirit's committed to the long-term process of us becoming who we should be. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit's long-suffering. It's faithfulness. God wants us to change. God's got a plan for every one of our lives to make us more and more into that likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. You don't have to change completely today. If God showed you all the stuff in your life that needed change, it would overwhelm you. It would overwhelm me. But he's helping us daily as we press into him to become who we truly are. And then lastly, gracious. The Holy Spirit's forgiving and treats us so much better than we deserve. And that didn't just come from Dave Ramsey. That's from the heart of God. Amen? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit's love and peace. Love and peace. So the love that you and I have, so it's very limited. In fact, the love that we have is often performance-based love. You do good and I'll love you, but if you don't do good, I'm going to struggle with loving you. Gracious means treating us better than we ever deserve. See, these are the roles that women play, which I think mirrors the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit really signifies for us that maternal side of the heart of God. Women are called to be companions, comforters, counselors, convictors, and connectors, and they're called to do it in a way that is gentle, pure, positive, patient, and gracious. That, I believe, is a Spirit-filled wife's role. Next time, we're going to get to the role of the men. And let me tell you, if women are the Holy Spirit in a relationship, I believe Scripture teaches that men are to be Christ-like in a marriage. And I want to unpack that next time. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I'm going to ask the ministry team to come and the worship team to come up quickly, please. If you're here today and you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I want to invite you into that best. That is the best offer that's ever been made to mankind. I want to invite you to receive that fully today. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, or maybe you've walked away from him and you need to rekindle a relationship with him, I want to pray for you this morning first and foremost. Right where you are with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Everybody with their heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's you this morning and you'll pray with me something like this. Dear Jesus, I really need you. I've messed up in this life and I need a new start, a second chance. I need a new way to live. I need you in my heart and my life. Forgive me where I failed you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior and teach me how to live for you. If that's you this morning with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, if you just raise a hand all across the room, just want to see any hands here this morning so I can pray for you. Praise God. I want to pray for the rest of us this morning because I tell you this thing, marriage, whether you're married or single, whether you are currently married or hoping and planning to be married or have been married and believing that God still has a plan for you with a special relationship, this is stuff that challenges all of us. And listen, what we've talked about today, you can't do without the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life. You need him daily. You need him daily. I don't know how many of you take time to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me afresh today. But I want to pray for you, and then if you need prayer, I'll let you come. Lord, move and work in every heart, every relationship, every marriage, every potential marriage, every person, Lord. Move and work in their hearts today. That you would continue to build and grow character. You would continue to bring healing and change and help to every heart, to every relationship. Lord, those marriages among us that are struggling or that are in a difficult time, we ask for healing and reconciliation and restoration in Jesus' strong name. God, have your way. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Would you stand?